Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio on Reformation Day, the October 31st, 2013. And good afternoon to my host in North Carolina and with Wayne Michaels, and good evening to Jurk Glissman of Belgium. Well, tonight's broadcast, there's so much. Our focus is 1776, and the reason for it, it's a pivotal point in history, and there's so many things that have misled us to what really happened on 1776. I want to start the broadcast with a little bit of food for thought here. Jurk shared this with me here a couple of days ago, and it's this: the right and left wing of party politics are both wings of the same bird, and the bird is the papacy. The head, the papacy, of the bird, the papacy, determines the direction, not the wings. And why is this so important? Because the revolution has been masked for years. And with the patriotic movement in this country, 99% of the patriots in this country do not know any history prior to 1776. And so the reason tonight's broadcast, I want to start off and talking just a little bit. We're going to go other places. But loyalists during the American Revolution. Why did I pick this tonight? It's because I read John Daniel's book, Grand Design Exposed. And for the first time, I heard the word Tories. You know, Americans today think of the War for Independence as a revolution. But in important respects, it was also a civil war. American loyalists are Tories, as their opponents call them, opposing the revolution, and many took up arms against the rebels. Estimates number of loyalists range as high as 500,000, or 20% of the white population of the colonies. Now understand, we know who the head is. The head is the Jesuit Vatican-run New World Order. And the motive for the American Revolution was to give us freedom of religion and give free hand to Rome to preach her idolatrous, superstitious religion. And so when I first read John's book on the Tories, in one place in his book he was talking about Charles Carroll, I didn't know what it was. Then it was a liberal friend of mine sent me an email and he started talking about the loyalists. So this webpage that I got up here and you can go to Grand Design Exposed and go down to the last button, the buttons on the left, and you can click on this link. Now this webpage I built for research, for nothing else. And it's become my second most favorite page. It's had 900 hits this month without a link to it. I just put the link to it here just about 4 days ago. But it interests me, the fact that this page is being read so much. So when I started seeing it, that it was moving around and it was getting hit on, I said, well, I've got to give some more information here. So I started putting some links back to some real history. And I want to comment on history. This is out of Tupper Saucy's book. And this is my comments mixed in with a quote from his book. History is not being rewritten, but some history is just being left out. Now, here's a quote from Tupper Saucy's book, quote, of Rulers of Evil, page 85 and 86. Of the 2,500,000 enumerated inhabitants in 1787 in America, the Roman Catholic population consisted of no more than 16,000 in Maryland, 7,000 in Pennsylvania, 1,500 in New York, and 200 in Virginia. What that means in percent is 1% of the population benefited, and the 99% had to go along with the 1%. I had that in parentheses. Now, I wrote that. Once to understand those figures that Tupper Saucy give us is less than 1% of the population was Catholic, and the rest was 99.99% Protestant. By 1850, once the Constitution was in place, a steady influx of European immigrants transformed Roman Catholicism from America's smallest to the largest religious denomination. By 1850, the higher powers at Rome could view the United States as a viable tributary, if not in another papal state. In other words, they were the largest. In 50 years, they became the smallest denomination. They became the largest denomination. The revolution was not about Catholics. The revolution was not about taxes. It was about religion. Understand, Catholicism was illegal to practice in the public or to hold public office prior to 1776. This is what's left out of our history. This is what's been swept out of the minds of the world and America. The 1% were Catholics, and the 99% were Protestants. Now, let's fast forward to 2013. There are 28 Jesuit universities in America. There are 50 Jesuit high schools, 216 universities, plus the parochial schools. The highest concentration of Jesuit influence than in any other country in the world. Understand, they are in 112 countries. Now, we ask, who benefited from the American Revolution? Tell me, Mike, I'm going to ask you a question. Who benefited from the American Revolution?
Well, Brother Walt, obviously, was the Vatican, and behind the scenes, the Jesuit order, who controls the Vatican, that they could create, set up, implement the Catholic people into this government, which is supposed to be Protestant, but it's not protesting anything. In truth, it was all to allow sun worship to be practiced legally, which everything the Catholic Church does is legal, as was their Inquisition. It was all legal documents. And over here it was illegal, as it was in England, to practice sun worship. And they were killed, the Jesuits, or the Catholics, were killed for practicing this openly. They had to do it inside their own homes. And every time, and I don't want to get into a great discussion, and I know you don't expect me to, but a later broadcast, we will open these things up very, very, very wide. When you see this man, the Pope, holding this wafer, or these priests, or the bishops holding this wafer with a cross on it, is where hot cross buns came from all the years. And the women were making their buns, their hot cross buns, for Tammuz, their goddess of the heavens. Today is the same thing, and it is a literal sun disk. It does not represent actual receiving of the blood of the Messiah and drinking the wine to where you become a god. Of course, in the priesthood's mindset, in the hierarchy's mindset, they do. But this is true Lucifer sun worship, which has came upon this planet, or this earth, rather, I'm sorry, since Egypt, actually. And sadly, as the scripture says, the whole world is deceived, and so it is. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because of you rejecting knowledge, you are greatly deceived. And then read 2 Thessalonians 2, and it will tell you just how much.
Well, and also, it's a good place to insert this. Freemasonry was infiltrated by the Jesuits. The Jesuits were behind Freemasonry. And Freemasonry is ecumenism. You can bring any god to the lodge. It's universalism. And it's been such a great disguise that it took on the Protestant. It took on the Protestant. The Freemasons took on the Protestant look and took the eyes off of the papacy. Now, Freemasonry is universalism. Most people, when I say this, already know this, but if you look up the definition of Catholicism, the root word is universalism. What we got in 1776 was a universal government. We did not get a Christian government. Now, 99% of the public out there were Protestants. History was fresh in their mind. They knew exactly who the Antichrist was. They knew the history of the papacy. They knew the history of the Jesuits. This time I'd like to insert what I've found in my research. And it's such a simple, it's so simple, but it goes over all of our heads. I couldn't figure out why nobody knows anything about the Jesuits. When you talk about history, history and Jesuits are two of the same bird. You can't have one without the other. It's like love and marriage. You can't have one without the other. What do I mean by that? You ask somebody on the street, what do you know about the Freemasons? What do you know about the Jesuits? And they said, well, I don't. I've asked this question many times. I'm not afraid to ask somebody if they know anything about the Jesuits. They know nothing. And if they don't know nothing, they don't know anything about history. Because if you know the history, you know about the Jesuits. And in 1776, the people in the streets knew about the Jesuits. This had to be overcome. This had to be overcome, and it had to be done in a covert way. And like I say, this, our broadcast here is on Thursday, Reformation Day, and it's a good time to inject this into the conversation. You see, most people in this country, prior to 1776, understood the problem. But in 2013, we have Americans that don't know any history prior. The reason I chose this page to start the discussion in the centerpiece today on this broadcast is because nobody knows anything. Everybody in America thinks that everybody was for the revolution. Absolutely not. There were the loyalists. There was people that understood what was going on. There's over 400,000 went to Canada. And then also a lot of them went to the Caribbean. And, you know, the patriots, you have to understand that all revolutions are started from the top down. And so they had to incite a revolution. They had to foment it. And of course, this was being done through the Freemasons, who were infiltrated by the Jesuits. You know. And you see, I want to bring up one point. If you'll bring up this page, I told you how to get to it at Grand Design Exposed. You will notice in some of these articles, I want to bring up one point here. They would go out in the country, and they would pull up in front of somebody's house, and you were either for them or against them. They hung people. They burnt their houses down if they didn't. You're either with us or against us. Now, you've heard that before.
Children.
Say that again, Mike.
They sacrificed their children. They used to take men's testicles and put them in cups and use them as lanterns and set them on the porch. And if you didn't abide, your child was sacrificed. And it's still all Lucifer sun worship, just like the Aztecs, the Mayans, and all in all. And I'm not going to go on, but I just want to interject.
And the point
is, people get dressed up as ghouls and goblins today celebrating a satanic ritual that they have no clue what they're doing. Oh, it's just fun. It's for the kids. And God demands that we worship him in spirit and in truth. And I pray the brethren hear my words. Please, please. The call is coming to an end, please, before the door is shut.
The reason I'm bringing this up, you see, the word terror was very common in the Inquisition. The first real terrorists were patriots. This country does not have a good track record. Those patriots that were lynching people, burning their houses down, were not Christians. So on this page also, I want to bring up the there was an American that I was talking about the lynching, American patriot Judge Charles Lynch. There's an article on here. This is not my opinion. This is what happened. Then we had the Treaty of Tripoli. How do you say that, Mike? Tripoli.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Treaty of Tripoli. Now, I've seen this rejected up on the internet in so many different ways. But I'm just going to read. This is copyrighted from a national. This is a treaties of Tripoli. As the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, as it has in itself no character of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility. And Muslimmen, and as the said states never have entered into any war or act of hostility against any nation, it is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinion shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between the two countries. Now, I'm not going to stay here because this could be debated, okay? I mean, the David Bartons and the army of patriots will defend this to the last, you know, that the founders were Christians. The simple truth is the founders were not Christian. Okay, they came out of the Enlightenment. They came out of Voltairism. They were all trained by the Jesuits.
May I add something there?
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of people think that the United States was founded by Christians, by Protestants. In my humble opinion, if that was the case, there would not have been freedom of religion, because God does not give you freedom of religion. It's either you believe in Him or not.
Correct. Correct.
So, in that point of view, I think, that is just my humble opinion, if America really was founded by Christ-believing Protestants, they would have said, we want a country under the law of God. And then there's also a righteous way to put on this dollar bill, in God we trust, not like it is now, where God is better spelled as gold, oil, and I don't know, whatever you can say that for, but God does not stand for God. God stands, stands more for the devil than anything else. But in my opinion, really, if the United States of America were founded by Christian-believing Protestants, there would not have been freedom of religion.
Well, you know, somebody, I just want to interject one little quick thing, and you please don't forget your thought here. You know, they keep hollering, I keep hearing from this one person screaming at me, William Bradford, 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 Bradford. You know, he come over and whatever it was, 1658 or whatever it was, I don't even care, 56, whatever it was. You know, he didn't practice Christmas. It was outlawed and banned. Catholics weren't allowed to be in the government because of the Jesuit order and what they believed and taught. And the whole deal was, this is like 30 years, whatever, after the Jesuits, or 20-some years, I'm sorry, after the Jesuits came here in 1634. People really need to get their times and dates straight. And I'm sorry for interrupting, but it's important. Thank you.
No, it's no problem that you interrupted. You have a very good point there. I mean, you know, with the way they did it, with the way they wrote the Constitution and they wrote the Bill of Rights, they gave the people the illusion of
the
free
yes.
country. Yes?
Absolutely right. Right.
Thank you. And that's just the point that I'm making. If they really were Christian-believing Protestants, they would have had that in the Constitution, that the belief system there is Protestant and only Jesus Christ is the Lord and God, the maker of the world and the universe, is the only God that we believe in, then that would have been in there, and then you could do nothing about it. But they didn't write that there. They gave you other little points where from the people had the illusion that they were free, but they were not.
Well, it goes all the way back to Israel. They faced the east, which the sun rises in the east, and had their backs toward the temple, and they worshiped the sun, Ezekiel 8:14-18. And the same thing goes on with Freemasonry and Jesuitism. This is what the Knights Templar all worship. The skull, that's where Skull and Bones came from, the Society of Death. You know, this thing is just so entrenched and deep, and it goes all the way back again to Egypt. It's all sun worship. And the title Pontifex Maximus, one human on this earth carries that title today. That's the Pope of Rome, the very Pope of Rome.
The Vicar of Christ, yeah, in the place of
Christ.
People
need to realize what's coming. You're going to worship Him or die. You're going to accept Him as God on this earth. That's what title Pontifex Maximus is, God, man, on earth. You're either going to bow and worship this man, kiss his ring like all the princes and all the governors do on this earth, or you're going to be destroyed. And I tell you this, though, but if you do, you're going to have eternal salvation in the Messiah, and you'll be forever, ever happy. Never die again, never sick again, no more pain, no more hurt, and the people need to realize this is the real calling, man. This is the final blow. There is no more. There is no 1,000 years that we can get ourselves right and be saved. That's all hogwash. It's like the rapture. It's everything's alive. And we will go so greatly into these things, and this was what Paul was killed for, teaching two resurrections that nobody on this planet but John Daniel teaches. And I will give him a credit to that. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to kind of, there's a conclusion on this page. the framers derived an independent government out of Enlightenment thinking against the grievances caused by Great Britain. That was Protestant Great Britain. Our founders paid little heed to political beliefs about Christianity. American Revolution ended Protestant rule and gave us a universal government. The First Amendment stands as the bulkhead against an establishment of religion and at the same time ensures the free expression of any belief the mass is now made legal, which was illegal in Great Britain. The Treaty of Tripoli, an instrument of the Constitution, clearly stated our non-Christian foundation. We inherited common law from Great Britain, which derived from pre-Christian Saxons rather than from biblical scripture. Today we have powerful Christian organizations, that's ecumenism, who work to spread historical myths, that's the David Bartons. It's an army of David Bartons. I mentioned David Barton. We can't list them all. I mean, there's people that believe that George Washington was a Calvinist Baptist. You know.
Yeah, go to my website and look at that photograph of John Gano baptizing him with a Trinity sign. Yeah, tell me.
The Trinity sign above him. It's a painting.
Sure.
It's a painting. I mean,
it's all a lie.
I mean, it's an army of them. Anyway, who work to spread historical myths about early American and attempt to bring Christian theocracy, Roman Catholicism, to the government. If this ever happens, then indeed we will have ignored the lessons from history. The lessons from history prior to 1776. Fortunately, most liberal Christians today agree with the principles of separation of church and state, just as they did in early American. But is there a separation of church and state? Oh, we have. Roman. Let's just talk about Washington, D.C. There's two major universities in Washington, D.C. One of them is the capital of the United States, Georgetown University, and the other one is the American Catholic University. Two major universities. And there are 30 Catholic churches in Washington, D.C.
Now, Brother Walt, just so the listenership who may not be aware of us and what we stand for and or against, please explain to the people, clearly and shortly, why we are not against the Catholic people in any way, shape, or form. So they don't get misunderstood and misled and think that we're just Catholic bashers. For it's nothing to do with that. Please explain that to them quickly.
Yeah, that's very important, I think.
Yes, yes it is. Because, you see, Catholicism is like a camellia. It changes color with wherever it's at and its surroundings. Because you see, a Roman Catholic in this country, it's not, they're American Catholics in this country. But if you go to Mexico, they're Roman Catholics.
Correct. Traditionalist.
In other words, listen, you see, if you understand the Jesuits have been kicked out of 83 countries, and a majority of those were Catholic countries. Understand, we used to joke and kid about this. We say, is the Pope Catholic? No. The Pope is a Jesuit. It's a Jesuit. You see, if the American Catholic understood what we're talking about here, if there ever was anybody that was going to turn this around, it would be the American Catholics. Because American Catholics, and I'll tell you, we've only had one American president in the last 100 years. And he was an American Catholic. John F. Kennedy. And he wouldn't even let Cardinal Spellman say the Mass in the White House.
Praise God for that, brother.
And in his biography, if you read his biography, he never considered himself a good Catholic.
Nope. That's why they killed him too, because he wouldn't bow down.
And I've heard from some sources, and I have no proof of this, but you know, some of the things that he was doing, he had a conversion. He was going against Wall Street. My generation, 58,000 men died. Not even counting the million Vietnamese that was killed. We wouldn't have went to Vietnam. He was not going to send us to Vietnam. He wanted to get rid of Castro. Now Castro was trained by the Jesuits.
Three universities, Jesuit universities.
Yes. You know, and so yes, we're not Catholic bashing. This is history. In 2013, we have 6 out of 9 of the chief justices that are Catholic. Wild Bill Donovan is the founder of the CIA. When he was sent to the Vatican and he got one of the highest awards, and he was also a Knight of Malta, but he got a high award from the Vatican, one of the highest awards they present. When you hear people talk on any alternative news and you hear them talk about the Jesuits, when they say CIA, they're talking about the Jesuits.
FBI.
The FBI. All of this alphabet police is all Roman Catholicism.
Yep.
It's controlled by the Jesuits. And something that's not mentioned much, and there's so much to talk about, is the Knights of Columbus.
Can I add something there?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, in accordance to that Catholic bashing, or just not Catholic bashing, I think it is very important that people understand, please understand, that with Catholicism, they are set up to believe, like Islam, the same thing, a religion that is set up by man. The only real religion that exists in this world is the religion of believing in God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, because that is divine religion and not man-made. Men wrote it down for other men to understand, but the religion comes from God. And the religion of Roman Catholicism, which is actually nothing else than Babylonianism, the old religion of Babylonia and Egypt, all the sun worship, 666, like Wayne stated so righteous time ago here, that is all man-made. The Vatican founded the Islam. They needed a sword. The Islam is nothing else than pre-Jesuits. Because they needed to fight the Christians, and they sent the Islam, they sent the Arabs, the Islamic-believing Arabs, out to North Africa to kill all the Christians that were there, and to infiltrate later into Spain and kill all the Christians over there. So what Catholics really have to study for once is that they are believing in a man-made religion and not in a divine religion.
Well, that's because the Christians in their minds are their greatest enemies. That's who they've got to silence and kill. And your German people are the great example of that. And that's suppressed in history as well. And I would like to add one thing here. The scripture teaches this. Now, you know, I have a brother who I greatly, greatly hold in high esteem. And I haven't heard from him in some time. He's attending a Baptist seminary, and I've questioned him time and again why he goes there, and now he's telling me that the leaders stand against the Jesuits in the Vatican. And I'm not going to go into a long story about this. he tells me that I should be, he so greatly appreciates what I'm doing and so forth and so forth. But he says to me, he said, and I'm going to blow myself up. He said to me, he said, why? He said, he thinks that I should sit here and preach that the gospel. Well, I mean, I think every creature on this planet is about as, or this earth rather, has a habit and forget about it. Is been told about the gospel, but now I will say this in response to that to anybody listening out here. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, it says, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. Everlasting. To preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, and saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That's the second time. That's the second Babylon, which is this whole earth. That great city, because she made all the nations drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Of course, in this very specific instance, they're talking about Rome, of course, but it relates to the whole world, because the whole world is Sodom and Egypt. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And I like to interject here, but most people don't think about it, but it's like a forest fire, and you light it, and the firemen come, and they put that fire out. That smoke still ascends up forever and ever. These people are dead, man. That's all of it is. They're not in a fire burning, screaming, God, save me, save me. They're dead, period. And they have no rest day or night. No, because they're dead. Who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, brothers and sisters. Here are they that keep the commandments, including the seventh-day Sabbath of God and the faith of Yeshua. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Mike. You know, this, you know, as I woke this morning and I think about this, it's amazing how big this is, how big this deception is. But when we read God's word, you know, it does say that the whole world will be deceived.
Yes, they are.
And the world is deceived. I mean, in other words, and this is one big deception. You see, in other words, to understand 2013, you have to understand what happened in 1776. You know, in the days of Israel, I mean, God didn't give them freedom of religion.
No, sir.
That
there's no religion.
That is jumped over. That's a big. They just jump over that. And they had to have freedom of religion. The main goal of founding this country was to separate us. I mean, for a short period of time, the lamp in the dark was shining light, and people prospered over here. England prospered as soon as they confiscated one third of the country that was to Rome. People prosper, but that's the reason why we're being taxed. That's the reason why we got unemployment. I mean, they're
passing the coffers that they've never stopped. It's all the same.
They're just filling their pockets. I mean, the most richest entity in the world is the papacy.
Yes.
It's the largest. I always like to ask this: what is the largest business in the world? It's religion.
Yep.
Now,
that's what the school teachers and their yardsticks take and put and smack your little hands. And all these people, hey, we don't talk about religion and politics in the workplace. We don't go there. We don't go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else is there to talk about? Football? Really? Survivor, American Idiot, I mean Idol. I tell you what, the people better wake up.
Yeah. You know, we've all heard this from childhood. You know, there's two things you don't want to talk about: religion and politics. We are programmed.
Brainwashed.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to offend anybody. In other words, where did all this toleration come from?
Yeah.
I'll tell you where it come from. It come from the state of Maryland.
Yep.
Maryland's colony, they preached toleration. Now, Roger Williams goes down in history as the first state to have freedom of religion.
And what is the Pope teaching today? All religions lead to God. You don't even need Yeshua.
And was Roger Williams right? Well, see, now we go back to Maryland. That's why we have the ecumenism. The ecumenism started in 1776 because, you see, the papacy had to have a different color here. And the man that was so instrumental in changing the color wasn't just the man, it was the Carrolls. Daniel, John, and Charles. Daniel Carroll and John Carroll were brothers. Charles Carroll was a cousin.
Right.
These men were instrumental. They were instrumental. I mean, they were buddy-buddy with Franklin. I mean, I have on this page, if you go to this page, the historical significance of Dorrigan Manor is a national treasure located in the heart of Howard County. It is a designated national landmark of international importance. And then in big text, I put, now I didn't write this. This is just off the web. This is just off the web. It says, as the man who called it his home triggered events in the 1700s that changed the face of the world. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. You go out in the streets. You ask somebody, you know who Charles Carroll is?
Yeah.
They haven't got a clue. That was done on purpose. In one article, it's up there. I mean, we could do a whole broadcast on the Carrolls because the Carrolls were so listen. You have people that write books about the founding of America, and they leave the Carrolls out of their research.
Yeah, deliberately. So the people were misled into the true founding of this nation and what its real representation was, and it's not Christianity, but sun worship. Lucifer, sun worship. Roman Catholicism.
Yeah. And I'm reading here. This is just an article that was up on the internet. It says the Dorrigan Manor was built in 1725 by Charles Carroll. Also, Charles Carroll, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, the only Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence, was the third generation of the Charles Carroll. There was Charles I, Charles II, and he was the third generation, okay?
Now, didn't he fund the Revolutionary War?
Oh, that's a good comment. Don't you think the wealthiest John Adams called Charles Carroll the wealthiest man in the colonies? Now, don't you think that the wealthiest man in the colony had something to do with the financing of the American Revolution?
And John Carroll lived right across the river from our good old founding father, Mr. George Washington.
Yes.
And weren't they best friends? Imagine that. And that's left out, too. How can that be, Brother Walter? How can that be so left out? Such an important part of the whole founding of this country and its basis and its true foundations, which weren't Christianity or God.
And let me insert this, too. Understand, this is not to throw stones. This is to talk about real history.
Correct. And it's never brought out, brother.
It's never talked about. Nobody is completely ignorant about it. But I'll tell you, I have asked this to a Catholic, to some good Catholic friends that lived about 2 miles from the Dorygro Manor.
Right.
And I asked them one day, I said, you know, have you ever heard of Charles Carroll? Oh, yeah. Charles Carroll, he helped finance the American Revolution. We used to go to the chapel. At the Dorygro, see, the Dorygro Manor, on one side of it is a chapel, and that's where Charles Carroll is entombed there.
And where did they sit at?
Oh yeah, the first thing they said in the slave section.
And that's a fitting place for them, isn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah. Charles Carroll was the largest slave owner in the colonies. Listen, the trading center for slave trading was in Washington, D.C. And you have people, I'm not going to go there, and people will try to say, you know, say that slavery is, you know, the slavery that was practiced here was Christianity. I mean, I never
read that in the scripture.
Well, they'll grab something out of the Bible and quote a Bible passage, and that way they go. But it's, listen, it was the Jesuits who were behind the slave trade.
Sure, and every aspect, whether it was sugar, cocaine, tobacco.
I heard a broadcast on Lori's Talk News Radio this last week, it was a cry out for God. I forget the title of it, but the point is, Washington D.C. is very instrumental. There's three cities in this world that are cities within, they're cities within a city. They're a city within a country. They're a kind of a country. Washington D.C. is like
all to their own.
All to their own, and that's in Washington D.C., London, and the Vatican.
Yep.
You know, and the point of it is, in the end result, our goal here, the goal is to make people interested in it. This is very interesting history. This reads like no other novel could ever be wrote.
Well, if
but why would we could be so important if we were talking about the football game and the sports and who won and the quarterback? Couldn't we?
Go.
And we could pass plays for money? Couldn't we? And we could become rich and be on TV? Couldn't we? And be little demigods?
Yeah. You have a comment?
I'm being sarcastic. I pray that God's people will wake up.
You got a comment, Yuri?
Yeah, I wanted to say, if a real history like this that we are teaching here by based on documents on this radio show here, if that was taught in schools, the students would ask for more lessons and not even looking for the end of the day. They would hunger for knowledge. But that's the problem in the schools today. We have just an indoctrination system, and that has nothing to do with giving knowledge to the pupils. So that's the problem. If they were taught a real history, I mean, when you go on America out on the streets and you ask people about, do you know what a Jesuit is? Do you really get an answer from them? When I asked that here in Belgium, someone on the streets, he said, a Jesuit? What's that? They have no clue what a Jesuit is. And when they think they know what a Jesuit is, oh yeah, but that's a nice Catholic order. It's just brothers in a monastery praying and doing good things for the world.
Right, they think they're a religious order. Yes.
A society of Jesus.
Yes.
And then they're in reality a militant arm, the militant arm of the Vatican.
Yeah, that's why I said when I made this the statement about that the Vatican founded Islam. He founded Islam also to have, because it's the same thing. In Islam, they have the same trinity like they have in Catholicism. They have also this idol worship, and when you go around Mecca, around this big black stone, whatever. I mean, I don't know all the words or all that stuff, but I have so many things in my mind, it just doesn't come out.
It's all sun worship, right, from Egypt. That's
it's just the same, but they needed a military arm for that. And Islam is not a peaceful religion. When you read the Quran, you see that.
Well, but let me interject one thing that's hidden from history, and it's very crucial and important for everyone to understand this. You see, when the Templars were going against the Islamic people, Saladin could have destroyed every Knights Templar there were. He captured them 150%. But Saladin was a righteous man, Yerk, and he let the Templars go free. And you never hear that, brother. And the truth needs to be told no matter where it's at, no matter whose heart it cuts, and no matter what mirror it is. Because that's the hardest thing there is, and the biggest mountain to move is self. And the mirror, brother, hardest to look at is the one you're looking at yourself. And to think you've been lied to all your life. And that's why people don't want this. It cuts their heartstrings, and they realize they've been duped their entire existence. And it's pitiful.
Yurka, I was talking to you one day, and you made a comment. What happens when you go out on the streets in Europe there and ask people, you know, and ask people about the Inquisition?
They have no idea what the Inquisition was. I mean, most people haven't even been studying that anymore. It is not even taught in schools. It's a little bit the same problem that I had when I was younger. I was raised evangelical or Protestant. But when I went to church, I didn't see any difference with Catholicism. You also have the big cross with Jesus hanging down there. I said, well, you're not... I said, God said you don't have to make idols or images.
Yep.
So what is a cross with Jesus hanging there? Isn't that an image of God?
Yep. True. And the portrait they show is of a self-portrait of Michelangelo. So, go figure.
Now, the reason I ask that question, understand, Yerk's in Belgium, Wayne's in North Carolina, and I'm in Oregon. The Inquisition was in Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
The Inquisition was in Europe, and to think that the Europeans have forgot about the Inquisition. Was it an accident?
It was only 400 years ago, brother.
Yes.
Emphasize, 400 years ago.
And you know, when I see a school bus go by,
I want to puke.
It's such a sick feeling. When I realize, you know, that how do I know what they're being taught? Because I wasn't taught nothing. Today is October 31st, Reformation Day. I was raised.
It's 100 times worse than when you were in school.
I was
raised. Because I went 10 years after you did and graduate, and it was 10 times or more worse than when you went, than when I went.
And that's absolutely right, Mike. That's absolutely right. In other words, every decade, they didn't do this. They didn't turn it off all at once. They didn't turn the light off of history all at once. This was done in stages. And everybody said,
right.
You know, I don't like history. It's a bore. Yes, the way they teach it.
The way they taught it, it was a bore.
But
York can't understand that. He's not over here and didn't know what was going on during that time over here. You know, really, because he was from Germany. It was a terrible thing they're trying to teach you, the most stupidest, insignificant things. You know, they're going to tell you that the president knew that they were going to attack Pearl Harbor 7 days in advance and cut the communication lines so then people would be killed? What kind of a man would do that? One that was Jesuit-led, a 33rd degree Mason, that's a kind. One, another one of the idolized, worshipped beings upon this fallen earth.
Yeah, today when you are in school,
boil too. I'm sorry?
Today when you are in school, you don't learn anything. You are just being indoctrinated with numbers and dates and names.
Exactly.
But the links, why was this, and because of what and who started this, and what was the result of it, that is not asked. They just want to know, when was George Washington born, when did he die, and when did he sign the
Declaration of Independence?
And that's all they want to know, and nothing behind that. And
well, let you know this real quick, and we'll do this another broadcast. The Black Pope, Ritchie, got together with Franklin at his home in Pennsylvania, and they created the Declaration of Independence. Whose independence was it? The Roman Catholics in this country to practice sun worship. But you see, the American people and the Patriot Movement and all the false smoke that they put on the people so many years, you know, the Patriots, they just want to eat you alive. Man, they hate you. They hold on to this country like the greatest thing since peanut butter and jelly. But they're so deceived. It's so sad, man.
Yeah.
And they've shut the door. They won't even accept your word. You can't even prove it to them. I don't care what kind of papers you got and show, documentate. It don't matter. No, hey, it was good to be a patriot to fight for your country, was it? Well, you're fighting the Vatican's war.
Yeah, well, patriots, I had an interesting discussion with someone on YouTube about that lately, because I said I'm not proud of being a German, because I said that is the nationality I'm born with is nothing to be proud of, because I haven't done anything for that. I can only be proud of things that I have achieved, things that I have learned, for example, things that I have achieved in my life. That's something to be proud of. But just to being born in this square mile of the earth someday.
There you go. The Messiah said those circumcised in heart. You know, those circumcised in heart. Those that love the truth.
We're getting down to about 3 minutes here now. We have a broadcast every Sunday, and we have a web page, and so if you go to Grand Design Exposed and over on about the fourth button on the left, you'll see a Jesuit connection to 1776, and you can click on that, and you can see the archives, and you'll see the archives of this broadcast.
You're echoing, Brother Walter.
And maybe it was Yerk. You might get away. You might close down your volume. There it's gone. I want to direct you to two websites. All three of us on that site you can click on it to go to Yerk's YouTube, my website, and Wayne Michael's website. And also I want to put out, I didn't even get to it, we're going to have a whole broadcast on this. The broadcast is going to be on the secret beginnings of the Order of Cincinnatus. Matter of fact, this was sent to us just today from a brother, and Brother Dennis, and if we're going to invite Dennis, we'd like to have Dennis on the broadcast to share this and dialogue on this secret beginnings of the Order of Cincinnatus. So anyway, we're getting right down to the closing time, and like I said, go to Grand Design Exposed, and you can go to our radio broadcast, the Jesuit Connection, to 1776. So with
I urge everyone to contact us individually, please.
Yes.
If you have any interest in all, please contact us, please, please.
Yeah. You know, there's a telephone number. You can call Mike directly, and there's two emails up there, and we're all three of us are real accessible on the internet. So with that, I'm going to close it, and we'll see you on the next broadcast. And bye, friend.
Bye, bless.
God bless.
Yeah, bye. And keep in mind, the truth doesn't fear investigation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.